Ukraine's strikes have taken out roughly a third of the biggest Russian e-commerce marketplace's warehouse capacity, and analysts now estimate combined damage to inventory and infrastructure could approach $12 billion. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan. This show curates online communities and is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today's date is August 15th, 2026. I'm opening on that warehouse strike figure because it changes the war's economics and everyday life for tens of thousands of small sellers. Greenland's government has told a U.S. drilling firm with political ties to delay work in the Jameson Land region because regulators can't finish the environmental review in time, pushing any start date to winter 2027 at the earliest and halting equipment that had already come ashore. The decision cites protected wetlands and local livelihoods, muskoxen and rare birds, and it immediately hit the company's share price after investors had been pricing fast output. Watch this as a reminder that Arctic projects still run on permitting and local consent, not political speed promises. U.S. retail sales fell 0.6% in July to $763.6 billion, the biggest monthly drop in over a year, and the weakness wasn't limited to cars or gas. Online sales slipped 2.2%, and even excluding autos and fuel, sales were down about 0.2%. That print helps explain why markets are dialing back odds of another Fed hike, and why some strategists say households may be postponing big purchases rather than stopping spending entirely. Keep an eye on August data and job reports to see if this is a wobble or a trend.
A strong 7.7 magnitude earthquake struck off Flores in eastern Indonesia, producing deadly damage, landslides, and dozens of aftershocks, while communications and roads were cut in the hardest hit towns. Authorities briefly issued a tsunami warning that was later lifted. For listeners, in Indonesia, a single quake can cascade into isolation and a big humanitarian challenge fast, so watch how quickly central government and island rescue teams can reach the cutoff communities and whether international offers of help follow.
What changed this week is tactical. Kyiv's long-range campaign has moved from hitting isolated military targets to striking deep into Russia's commercial arteries, and the clearest example is the damage to the country's largest e-commerce platform's logistics network, warehouses that handled third-party sellers, regional distribution, and fast delivery. Analysts cited by business press and communities on the World News subreddit estimate direct infrastructure losses at roughly 147 to 223 billion rubles, about $1.75 to $2.7 billion, with goods belonging to small sellers another 445 to 507 billion rubles, roughly $5.3 to $6.1 billion. And some industry groups say total economic damage could approach 1 trillion rubles, near $12 billion. That scale matters because it's not just a headline number, it's livelihoods, delayed orders, and inventory gone up in smoke. Footage and forensic reporting show strikes reaching well beyond the Black Sea front, with Kyiv reportedly using long-range Luti drones on missions covering more than 1,700 kilometers to hit facilities as far east as Yekaterinburg, which forces a reallocation of Russia's air defenses and makes clear Kyiv's campaign is designed to raise the domestic cost of the war for ordinary Russians. On the human side, the platform acted as a marketplace for tens of thousands of small businesses across Russia, and some sellers lost as much as 95% of their stock. Compensation that has been reported, payments averaging roughly 2,000 to 30,000 rubles per seller, covers a sliver of those losses, which is why vendors on forums and in the thread are furious, worried about bankruptcy, and asking whether state relief will follow.
Economically, this has immediate knock-on effects. Damaged logistics choke regional supply chains and push up prices. Energy hits at refineries have already produced gasoline shortages in parts of Russia, and business insurers and logistics partners will have to reprice risk or shift routing, all of which will be felt by consumers within weeks as delivery times lengthen and inventories thin. Politically, this is where the strike campaign becomes a lever. Kyiv's goal, according to analysts and commentators in geopolitics and world news communities, is to erode the Kremlin's ability to hide the war's costs from its own population ahead of tightly managed parliamentary elections, forcing Moscow into public performance to shore up legitimacy while it diverts scarce defenses away from the front.
That creates a dilemma for Western response planners. Supporting Ukraine's precision capacities helps impose costs on the Russian war machine. But those same strikes can accelerate energy price volatility and squeeze civilians inside Russia, which is exactly why you're seeing heated debate online between people who call this strategic pressure and others who warn about humanitarian spillovers. Finally, what to watch next? Commodity and retail price data from Russia. Statements from small seller associations about compensation or bankruptcy rates, the operational disclosures or denials from the logistics company, and whether Russia expands internal censorship or shifts policing priorities in response.
Now, the second big development is geopolitical and covert. A New York Times report says that in a secret December briefing, the Russian leader ordered intelligence and military services to destroy NATO and the EU from within, and that Moldova was singled out as a near-term target. What makes this scoop consequential is its mix of alleged tools and a time horizon. According to officials cited, Moscow planned a combination of probing military tests, sabotage and cyber attacks, plus hybrid campaigns, disinformation, vote buying, and engagement with local proxies, including reported recruitment and training in the Balkans and Russia itself. For Moldova, that matters because it sits between Ukraine and Romania, hosts the frozen conflict zone Transnistria, where Russian troops remain, and had a September 2025 parliamentary vote that the Kremlin reportedly sought to influence. Moldovan security services and Western cyber teams credit arrests and raids with blunting some plots, but intelligence sources say the Kremlin's playbook is explicitly designed to be deniable and to push Western institutions into hard choices. The practical risk is not tanks crossing into NATO. The Peace and Analysis in Geopolitics threads argue that Moscow's immediate priority is not a conventional invasion of Europe, but to destabilize democratic politics, create crises of confidence, and force the EU and NATO to expend political capital and fracture internally. That's classic gray zone warfare. Hack the institutions citizens rely on, amplify nationalist and religious divides. The reporting even points to payments to clerics and training camps in Serbia and Bosnia, and test whether alliance solidarity holds when confronted with plausible but messy provocations.
For Western planners, the response set is tricky. You can harden networks and elevate sanctions, but countering disinformation and covert influence requires patient, sustained resilience building in partner societies, not just headline sanctions. Commenters in the Europe and Geopolitics subreddits rightly point out that attribution and timing complicate public responses, and overplaying a single intelligence leak risks politicizing legitimate defense measures. Where the two stories intersect is important. Kyiv's strategic strikes and the Kremlin's reported covert plans are part of the same broader contest over perception and endurance. One actor is trying to raise the domestic price of the war for Russia. The other, if the NYT reporting is accurate, is trying to erode Western cohesion from within. That raises a clear question for NATO and the EU going into the fall. Can they remain operationally supportive of Ukraine while also stepping up cyber and legal defenses for vulnerable neighbors like Moldova? And can they do that without playing into Kremlin narratives that portray Western support as the destabilizing factor? Practically, expect stepped-up assistance to Moldova, increased intelligence sharing on hybrid operations, and more sanctions-targeted actions against identified networks. Watch parliamentary debates in EU capitals for new resilience funding, and look at NATO doctrine updates on Article 3 readiness, not Article 5 combat, because this is about hardening societies as much as military deterrence. If the coming months show anything, it's that the war's pressure points are as much logistics and narrative control as frontline geography, and that makes supply chains and small states linchpins in global security. I'm Alex Morgan. Debug the hype.